Our first lesson for today comes from the fifth chapter of Isaiah. Hear the word of the Lord. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a vine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste, and it shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard is the Lord of hosts, is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Our second lesson for today is from the 80th Psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we might be saved. And our third lesson for today comes from the 12th chapter of Luke. Hear what the gospel says to the church today. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wished it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress am I under until it is completed? Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm not singing the hymns today. If I did, I wouldn't be able to speak enough to get through the sermon. So thank you for putting up with me and my tissues and cough drops. It is good to be here with you today. Starting last March or so, I began a new creative venture for me. And I write liturgy. I put it out on the internet. So I write the words of worship services. I write and offer call to worship, prayer of confession, and all of that. And several weeks ago, as I was writing the lectionary for this week, my thought was, good luck to whomever is preaching that Sunday. And then I got an email. So it has been an interesting discipline to get what I deserved, I really think. And I also heard from Nicole that you are traveling through Hebrews at this point in time. And I picked all the three other scriptures. So we'll just get a little bit of a different perspective today. But let's look at our scriptures a little bit. We have Isaiah and Psalms, which I think are having a conversation with each other. Isaiah is God's part of the conversation, God's side, and then Psalm is the people's lamented response to what has gone wrong. Isaiah is God saying, you messed up, and Psalms is saying, please have mercy on us. In Isaiah, God has sculpted a protected garden with great creativity and intention. Great effort has gone into this. And the Lord expected a lot. The Lord expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. And I want to share with you briefly my definitions of these words. Justice isn't like our current criminal justice system. Justice isn't punishing someone for stealing a loaf of bread. Justice is making sure no one has to steal to eat. Righteousness, I translate as right relationship. So whenever it talks about righteousness, I say, oh, people need to be in a right relationship with each other and with God. So you know where I go with those words now. Our psalm consists of saying, listen to us, great God. You cared for us and saved us before, remember in Egypt? You got us out of that trouble. Please look with favor on us again. Forgive us. Save us. And then we will turn to you again, which is a bit transactional. If you save us, we'll turn to you again. I don't think that's the order God wanted. These are discomforting texts. God is so very clearly disappointed with God's people in these texts. It's really not a good point in the relationship. And our scriptures today, all of them, the scripture readings for today, end without resolution. It is not neatly tied up like at the end of a sitcom. And then in Luke, well, that one's a doozy today. So we have Jesus saying, I came to bring fire. That's not intimidating. I'm stressed. I didn't come to bring peace, but division, which is odd to our ears because of how many times Christ says, my peace I leave with you. But he says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. Families will be divided. And you are hypocrites for not seeing the signs before you. We thought he only called the Pharisees hypocrites. It's tough. And it definitely does not mix with the Jesus that we learned about in Sunday school at all. With the placid Jesus who's holding a sheep. Or the Jesus with no expression on his face praying up to the skies as he kneels in the garden. That's not the Jesus talking today. It's difficult. This whole section in Luke, though, this series around this particular scripture, it reminds me of my one-year-old daughter who was in the back as you were coming in, as she fights sleep, which she does very well, the fighting sleep part. Jesus is walking towards Jerusalem and to his death. And he is, in his conversation, in his sharing with people, he is in a desperate flailing to savor every moment, to express the most earnest things every moment, to have the biggest and most profound impact. Just like Lily, who cries and screams and plays and runs around, trying to have the most vigor possible. But the end, the sleep, the death still comes. Our scriptures this week are not inherently hopeful. So where do we go? What do we do? Where's the good news? They always train us as preachers to bring you the good news. In Isaiah, there is talk about wild grapes being produced. In the Psalms, there is need for saving. And in Luke, we have the hopeless hypocrites. And it's probably not too different today. Yet God still hasn't given up on us. After Isaiah and Psalms, God still sent Jesus with all of his passionate ministry and willingness for passion and for going to his death in that passion. God doesn't give up on us. But what about us today? We are still a people of division like Christ described. I bet you that there are politicians that you do not like and people who like those politicians who you're not talking to very much right now. I don't care who you are or are not voting for. You're probably opinionated. In our religious landscape, we have division amongst brothers and sisters. Look at how many denominations we have. We're not in the same building as them. There's division. Even in our own denomination, we have been through a long period with a lot of division. And it's interesting to look at the fact that so many churches have left the denomination. It's sad that they have gone. But yet there is much more of a consensus and a family agreeable feeling now. Is it a time when we can work together better and do more? Because there has been division. We are still begging God to love us, to save us. But we are also still saying, maybe, please show us a sign first. You show me you love me first, and then I'll love you back. But we can change the storyline. We can bring justice and give bread. We can participate in righteousness, in right relationship with all those around us. And in this scripture in Luke, you can feel it that Christ is talking about readiness, but it's surrounded by stories of being prepared, like the bridesmaids with their lanterns, who didn't get invited to the party when they didn't have enough oil. Forget that all of them fell asleep. You be ready. You be urgent. Instead of expecting perfection, maybe we can work for better. Maybe we can be more faithful, more just, more focused, leaning into division, embracing where we are now and moving forward, not causing division, but recognizing sometimes freedom comes with that. I have great hope for our church's future because we are able to concentrate and we no longer have to appease those who don't agree with us. Maybe we can get some important things done now. I wonder, what does it look like to produce sweet grapes, or as the scripture just says, grapes, in the garden in which we have been planted? I will let you know, I wrote this before the events in Milwaukee yesterday evening, last night. And I said, for me, racial justice is important. That's a passion of mine. To try and figure out how we can see each other all as children of God, not some more children than others, some more to be feared than others. For me, a way in which I grow in the garden in which I've been planted is opening up scripture, which right now I do through liturgy, trying to make it more accessible and understandable, this week notwithstanding. And for me right now, I'm in a time wherein raising my kid is a wonderful garden experience. Tomatoes are also a great experience. It's a good time of year. For you and your community here, what does it look like when your garden grows? I can't answer that, but finding that answer is vitally important. We can't be so afraid of disappointing God that we become placid and safe in trying. We can't keep letting bloodshed and cries continue, like is referenced in Isaiah, in God's pleasant planting. Instead, let us lean in closer to the fire that Christ has kindled. Fire burns, fire warms. Let us live into this unexpectedly difficult baptism. Christ said, "I am bringing a new baptism." Let us live into it. It's not just a refreshing bath. Let us become productive in our justice and our righteousness. Let us be sweet grapes who have worked hard to be so. Let us be urgent in tending the vineyard that God planted, which includes us and all of creation around us. Let us be faithful branches to the vine that is Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.